Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your copy of God's word. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. As you turn there, here's a question that I have for you. Is there anybody here who would say that you loved school? Anybody here say that you loved school? Yeah, all right, great. I met Mary in art class. We're doing art there at Warren Eats Middle School. And so I don't remember us loving art. Did you love art? You liked it? Okay. I didn't love it, but anyway. So you think about that. So, I mean, what was it about school that you loved? Those that raised your hand, what was it about school that you learned, that you loved?
Lunch.
Yes, absolutely.
We had really good cooks over
there. Did you? Oh, wow. Well, good. That's, yeah. What else?
Friends.
Friends, yeah, no doubt.
Art.
Art, yeah, you're the art person, huh? Okay, good. What else? Yeah, absolutely. Teachers really cared about you. What was that?
I just like to learn.
Yeah, you just like to learn. Yeah. What's that?
Woodworking.
Woodworking. There you go. There you go. But let's go to the other question then. Is there anybody here who would be willing to admit that they didn't love school? All right, great. Yeah, we got some hands there. It's all good. What was it about school that you didn't love?
Going.
Christy's daddy always said he went in the front door and right out the back. You know, that's what he said. He actually went only through the eighth grade. He's like, man, I'm done with this. Of course, that was a long time ago in West Virginia. You could do that sort of thing, all right? What else, those of you who raised your hand, what did you not like about school? Yeah, I sat in one spot for an hour. It's hard, isn't it? Yeah, no doubt. And by the time I came up, it was block scheduling, so it was an hour and a half, you know, that you had to be there. So, yeah, what was that in the back?
The constant grind.
Yeah, the constant grind, yeah. Studying subjects that you don't care anything about. Like, how many times did you say to yourself, I'll never use this in life? You know, Zach's doing that right now with calculus. He's like, this is the dumbest stuff ever, you know. And a lot of times it's subjects that you just don't care about. You know, it's just not interesting to you. Like I was always a history buff. You know, I loved the history courses and all that stuff. But nevertheless, a lot of times you're not studying things that move you, right, that excite you. But here's what I found over the years. Just because a person didn't love school doesn't mean that they don't love learning. Let me say it a different way. Lots of people hated school but love learning. You just got to get them in the right context, right? You just got to get them with the right subjects. And they can talk all day and they're pumped about it. They want to learn, right? I mean, you get them on the right subject. Little Jimmy Dickens, he learned a lot out behind the barn, right? He'd just get him in the right context. Not sure if he learned the best things, but he learned quite a bit, apparently. All right? And so we'll see tonight that learning is key to a life well lived. Somebody once said, never stop learning because life never stops teaching. But learning is just not a key to a life well lived. It's also a key to good leadership. So as we wrap up this series, everybody's leading somebody. We're going to focus in on the idea of being a learner. And here's principle number 10 for us in this series is that good leaders are always learning. Good leaders are always learning. And that's what we learn from the book of Proverbs tonight in our text. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Guys, good leaders are always learning. Let's pray together. So, Father, as we come tonight and we think about this, just coming down to this last message, and these have just been practical messages, God, that we can all take and live in our everyday life, because everybody in here is a leader in some capacity. Somebody is looking to us for how to navigate life, for how to deal with deal with our emotions, how to solve problems, how to cast vision and follow it and everything, God, how to persevere. We could go on and on. Somebody is being influenced by us. Therefore, we are leaders in some capacity. We're all leading somebody. And so, Father, tonight, as we think about this last topic of being a learner, God, I pray that we would always be learning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at six actions, all right, to help us be a leader who's always learning. And first is simply this, love to learn, all right? I appreciated what Mary said. You know, I like school because I like learning, all right? And the truth of the matter is we all like learning about something, right? What do you think the biggest reason is that some folks don't love to learn? And the answer is because it's just not always easy, right? Sometimes it's really hard. Maybe you were that child that had to be pushed along because you wanted to take the easy way out. Or maybe it was just maybe you had a disability of some sort, or you had a learning issue, and it was just hard for you. My wife's brother, one of her brothers, really struggled with dyslexia. He wasn't diagnosed with it till like way on up in there. And a lot of his teachers just said, he's dumb, he can't learn. Truth of the matter was, he just needed the extra help and the extra attention. And finally, like Shannon said, he got a teacher who said, I will not give up on Brian until he's got this, and helped him break through that and figured out the real issue, and he got the help that he needed. And so sometimes learning is very hard, kind of like this video. Check out this video. You may have already seen it on Facebook. It's been kind of going around. I love this little video. I love that video, man. But don't we all feel like that sometimes? Just forget, you know? Not only did he take off throw the sock that he couldn't get on, he took the one off that he had on. He's like, I'm done with socks. I am done with socks. But isn't that how we feel sometimes learning something new? I'll never forget the first time I went skiing, all right? I went with Christy, and Christy grew up north of Columbus, Ohio, which is in the snow belt, okay? We're more down in the sun belt. They actually had a ski team at her high school, okay? And so she went skiing all the time, and so she knew how to ski. And the first time I went with her, she said, hey, they offer lessons. I'm like, lessons? Do I look like a kid to you? You know, so I forget lessons. And so, man, I got up on that. I didn't go to the Black Diamond. I went to one of the intermediates, maybe even the Bunny as far as it really was. But I tell you what, I got so mad, and she laughs about it to this day. I got so mad, I fell down so many times and couldn't figure it out that I literally took off my skis, threw them down the mountain, and walked down after them. You know, it's just, I was done with it, right? And we've all been there because learning is hard. It is hard sometimes. It doesn't always come naturally to us, all right? So, but when you learn it, we've all been there before, when you have that breakthrough. It's like, oh, I just got it. All of a sudden, it was all worth it. You're excited. I hated skiing until I learned to ski, right? And that's how life is. I still remember the day that I learned to whistle. I don't remember how old I was, but in my mind, I still remember. I have a church road. I think it was still gravel then. I grew up on a dead-end gravel road. Yeah, that's where I lived. And my granny lived, you know, a football field or so away from me, and I'd been down to visit her, and I've been trying to learn to whistle, you know, all the things that we do, and I still remember walking out of her driveway, heading home, and all of a sudden I went, and I was so excited, I had to turn around and run back and tell my granny about it, okay, because I finally learned to do it, all right, so the deal is, it's totally worth it when you figure it out, when you learn it, right? And so, yeah, there's frustration, yeah, there's effort, yeah, there's all of those things. But we don't have to love the frustration, but we love to learn, all right? I don't love to dig for treasure, but I would love to find some treasure. If anybody's going to find treasure this past week, Nat and Sam were going to. I mean, they dug holes, I mean, you know, that you could bury a man in, all right? They didn't find any treasure on the beach, though, other than shells. They found a lot of shells. But, you know, but again, I don't love to dig for treasure, but I love to find some treasure. But you'll never find treasure if you don't dig, all right? So learning is like finding treasure. In fact, in the next chapter of Proverbs here, Proverbs chapter 2, the first five verses, it says, it even equates learning and instruction to treasure. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You hear the treasuring there, that knowledge of God and knowledge itself is like silver. It's like hidden treasure. It really is a priceless commodity that we seek after, and it takes work. All right, you know that I think isn't it the 10,000 hour rule? Have y'all heard of that? Like, in order to be a master at something, you have to do it 10,000 hours. All right, and then at that point, you know, it's so second nature. You know, obviously there's some gifting that has to come into that and things like that. But nevertheless, like, it's that repetitive work at it sort of thing. You know, it's like the athletes or your favorite writer. Elizabeth, last night we had our classical conversations end of the year program. And, you know, Elizabeth has been in a program this year called Essentials where they learn to write. And so she had a little writing notebook. And it was in what's the right word? Sequential order or whatever. So the earliest writings to the end, okay, it was in that order. And you could see a definite progression. She got better as she went along. So even if it's your favorite writer, you know, whoever that is, you know, they didn't begin there. They had to grow to there, all right? And so it just takes work. It takes hours. It takes practice. Some of you may love just the experience itself of learning, all right? Others of us may not, but everybody should love the fruit of learning. That's where it's at, all right? So love to learn. Love to learn. If not the experience itself, then at least the fruit of learning. Here's the second action tonight as we think about this. Good leaders are always learning. Second is learn first and foremost about God. Learn first and foremost about God. I want you to check out this picture right here. Anybody know who these people are? Do you recognize any of them? Anybody? They look familiar. They're quasi-famous. I mean, they're not like, Beyonce famous or anything like that, you know. But nevertheless, they're famous. The guy on the top left is Richard Dawkins. These guys actually together are what are called the Four Horsemen of the New Atheism. Sounds boding, doesn't it? Ominous. Oh, goodness. You know,
Hitchens to the right.
Yep. You're getting ahead of me. Don't get ahead now. I'm just kidding. Let's start here with Dawkins. Y'all probably heard Dawkins. Dawkins is just a know-it-all smart aleck, you know, as far as that goes. He's supposed to be brilliant, and he probably is in a lot of fields. You know, perhaps he's the most influential living atheist right now, all right? Formerly the professor of public understanding and science at Oxford University, the prestigious Oxford University. In science, Dawkins' main contribution has been as a popularizer of such ideas as uni-level genetic selection and inclusive fitness. I have no idea what that is, but he does, all right? And through his outstanding gifts as a writer, Dawkins has had an incalculable impact on the dissemination of modern evolutionary theory to the general educated public, all right? He claims, listen to this, that human beings are gigantic lumbering robots controlled by our selfish genes. And in recent years, he's instigated a series of publicity campaigns against religion in the UK. So that's one of the reasons why these guys are kind of called the Four Horsemen of the New Atheism, is that they're basically going to be the ones who are going to come and destroy Christianity. All right, top right, Channon got it right, Christopher Hitchens. Now, he's actually passed away now, 2011. Hitchens, a journalist, an essayist, autobiographer, world-class debater, blogger. Born in England, but moved to the U.S. in 1981, where he actually became a citizen. He attracted widespread attention first when he just gave these blistering attacks on Mother Teresa. I don't know why. All right. But anyway, he was wildly admired as a brilliant stylist. He wrote for Slate Magazine, TV, documentaries, all these things. He debated college and university campuses around the world. And again, he died 2011. Bottom left is Sam Harris. Now, when you think of all these guys, Sam Harris is kind of the cool one that folks kind of the cool crowd gravitates toward. Best-selling author, television personality, Jewish background, but raised in a secular home. He has, from Stanford, a BA in philosophy and a PhD in neuroscience from UCLA. His neuroscience research focuses on the neural basis of belief using fMRI technology. I don't even know what that is. All right. He's the co-founder of Project Reason, whose aim is to encourage critical thinking and erode the influence of dogmatism, superstition, and bigotry in our world. And then finally, bottom right, is Daniel Dennett. Daniel Dennett. He's a university professor of philosophy, co-director of the Center for Cognitive Studies at Tufts University. He's written a lot on natural selection, all of these things. He's sort of a biologist as well here. His notorious claim, I don't know if this is a put down or not, but he says your great-great-grandmother was a macro. I don't know what Channon, what does that even mean?
Macro?
Yeah. Short answer.
Evolution is going from like a fully formed creature to
yeah.
a fully formed
okay.
So none of this molecular evolution. It all happens.
Gotcha. All right. Well, he describes belief in God as a useful crutch that we've outgrown. All right. So I say all of that to say, man, these dudes. He said, why did you spend so much time talking about them? Well, these guys right here are supposed to be the tops when it comes to intellectual influencers in this world, all right? All of these guys, all right? But when we turn to the scripture, they're brilliant by one standard. But in our text, look what our text says here. Look back with me here at verse 7. Verse 7 here in our text says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here's what that means. What that means is that if your learning doesn't lead you to fear God and to know God, then you don't know anything. That's what that means. You don't know anything. You don't know nothing. We say it in that form, right? You don't know anything if your learning hasn't led you to God. If you learn about anything in this world, learn about God. And where do we learn about God? Well, nature tells us about God. You know, I know a lot of us here in this room, you know, we live in the country. I mean, you know, nature resonates with us. We feel connected to God in nature a lot of ways. But nature itself just tells us, according to Romans 1, that God is. It really doesn't tell us much more about God because nature itself is kind of open to interpretation, right? Just down in Panama City Beach, on Saturday, the tornado came. The Panama City Beach tornado came through there, all right? And what does that tell me about God? I mean, I could take away that he's angry, that he's violent, you know, all those things. So nature tells us that there is a God, but it does not tell us much about the characteristics of God. The only place to rightly learn about God is from God's self-revelation, his word, right? That's the place where we go to if you want to learn, right? If you're going to let our learning, if we're going to learn first and foremost about anything, we're going to learn about God, and we have to do that in the Bible itself. That's the only place to authoritatively learn about God. Now, obviously, you can pick up a book who's writing about God, and as long as that man or that woman's writing is based on the Bible, then we can learn something from there, all right? But again, the authority is the Bible, all right? That's the only place you can definitively know that you've learned something true about God. A lot of people learn lies, don't they? A lot of people learn lies. But the only place we can learn truths that we know are true is from Scripture itself, all right? Leaders are always learning. Good leaders are always learning. Here's the third thing I want you to think about tonight as you try to be a leader who's always learning, is that you need to learn through multiple channels. Learn through multiple channels. And for those of you who are teachers, you know, you've been well-versed in the philosophy of multi-sensory learning and all that stuff, right? And different methods to teach. You know, not everybody has the same learning style, right? In the same way, learning comes in lots of different channels, lots of different ways. What are some of the channels that you can think about for learning? And I'm not talking about like the Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel or Food Network. What are some of the media, so to speak? Let's put it that way. Some of the ways that we can learn. What would you say? Reading, yeah, that's huge. Mm-hmm. Movements. Yep, absolutely. Moving. Yep. Seeing. Mm-hmm. Hearing. Huh? Doing it, experiencing it, yep. You guys got a lot of good answers here.
Teaching it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for those of you who ever have to teach anything, you really are challenged to learn just by having to teach it. Yep.
Preaching sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. Sometimes, every now and then, they'll hit a right lick, right? So you guys hit a lot of the ones that I thought of, all right? So reading, you know, books, articles, blogs, even social media can sometimes be beneficial for learning. Really, let's be honest, social media is really used to kind of cause strife and contention. Did you know that? You ever notice that on Facebook, that the person that makes you the maddest is always at the top of your feed? All right? And the reason is because Facebook wants you to say something, all right? And so they always put my other brother-in-law up there. I already talked about one brother-in-law. I'm talking about the other one right now. Always puts my other brother-in-law. Of course, I've got lots of brother-in-laws, but one of my other brother-in-laws up top, because, you know, we just see things very different in the world. And finally, I just had to, I had to hit that button that was like, hide him. You know, because I love him. We get together at family get-togethers, and we talk, we laugh, we do all these things. But when it comes to Facebook, like, we're like two bulls butting heads. I mean, it's crazy. It's meant to do that, so be careful with it. Yeah, Channon.
You know, something that I've experienced in the last year or so is that there are so many sources to find information.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the Encyclopedia Britannica, you know,
yep.
A few years out of date, but that was the standard. And now there are so many things out there, and many of them are simply opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to find factual information.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it's very hard. You know, it's sort of some of that old wartime anti-information or whatever they called it there, you know, that where they would try to put out false information to steer the enemy the wrong way. Yeah, propaganda or whatever it was, yeah. This is just breaking, I think, today. Project Veritas, have y'all seen that? The video with one of the producers from CNN said, we made up stories, we did all these things because our purpose was to get the population to vote a certain way and all. I mean, he's admitting it there on video. And so, yeah, so many things are slanted. So many things have a purpose. It goes both ways as far as that goes, all right? Let's be real as far as it goes. But, yeah, we do have to be very discerning, particularly today, because there are so many streams. There are. So books are there, listening. Man, you have at your fingertips, I mean, the greatest orators in the world right now, the greatest teachers in the world. I saw an ad the other day for Steve Martin, you know, the comedian. He's going to teach a comedy class. You can take a master class with Steve Martin from right here in Alverton, Kentucky. You know, I mean, you can set under the greatest in the world at whatever it is that your hobby is, whether it's fishing or motorcycles or mechanicking or whatever it is, turkey hunting, you know, as far as it goes. Huh? So you can be right there with them, all right, and so you can do that. You know, I love podcasts. I drive Christy crazy listening to podcasts, but I'm just always trying to take in and more and more, all right? But, so reading, listening. I think we kind of said this a moment ago, but I'm going to put it this way: interaction with one another. Interaction. This is a good quote. This is a great quote that I found. This is from Robert Heinlein. I don't even know who he is, but it's a great quote. "I never learned from a man," he said, "who agreed with me. I never learned from a man who agreed with me." In other words, what he's saying is that we have to engage people who think different than us, who don't agree with us. And that's the thing that right now in this moment isn't happening well, right? I mean, that's the antithesis of this cancel culture, this safe space culture, this microaggression culture, this movement that we're seeing today. And this kind of thing's being shut down. You know, words are now violence, and you know, they're going to shut down the opposing viewpoint because they don't want a conversation. They want just their side to be heard as far as it goes. And so it's really important for us. And that doesn't mean that you can't have an opinion, you know, and you may be fixed in your opinion, but still that dialogue sharpens you. And so it's important to interact. That's how we learn. Experience, we said this one, someone said this one in one form or fashion. Somebody once said that experience is the best teacher. You know, my wife, as far as it goes, I'm more of a book learner. She's more of a learn by doing, right? The experience, she wants to be hands-on with it. She learns a lot better that way. Shadowing, that's a great way to learn. Find somebody who does it. That's one of the things I love about the beekeeping world, you know, as far as it goes. You know, guys are always willing to be a mentor to somebody else, to go out. You know, there's an old fellow over here at Boyce Country Store that I got to talking to. He was Red. That's what everybody called him. Hey, Red. And he gets talking to him about bees. And one day I said, "Red, I'd love to come by and help you work your bees just so I can learn how to do it." He said, "Yeah, well, heck yeah, come on," you know, as far as it goes. And so I learned a lot just one day going out to his farm and out to his apiary there. And so finding people to shadow. But, huh? I don't know what his last name. I don't think it's Young. Maybe. He's a mailman. He does mail delivery. I've got his name in my book here, or my phone. But also, think about this. Relearning. Aren't there a lot of things that you've forgotten that you once knew? I mean, I can't imagine, you know, some of the professions that you guys are in as such technical professions, or maybe the machines that you work with are such technical machines. You know, you got to constantly retrain yourself and make sure that your skill is top-notch. And I'm kind of going through this right now with the guitar because Zachariah, I mean, he can play circles around me right now, but I used to be able to play the things he's playing now. You know, I've just forgotten, you know, as far as it goes. And so I always tell him, "Son, I've forgotten more than you know." You know, you got to keep them humble as far as that goes. But relearning is one of those channels as well. Just because you've learned it before, go learn it again and get better at it again. You lose those skills. If you don't use it, you lose it. And so learn through multiple channels. Fourth tonight, leaders are always learning. Good leaders are always learning. And here's what we need to think about. Live your learning. Actually do it. There's nothing worse than the preacher or the teacher who says, "Do as I say, not as I do," right? We call that a person a hypocrite, don't we? Who says one thing and lives another one. Well, there were two small boys one time, John and Jim. They were friends, and Jim had a dog, and one day they were walking, they were taking the dog for a walk, and Jim said proudly, "I've taught my dog to dance." And the other one said, John said, "What do you mean? He's not dancing." And Jim said, "Well, I just said I taught him. I didn't say he learned anything." So you've got to prove that you've learned by living, right? You've not learned it until you can do it. And so your learning makes a difference. James 1:22, we know this one well by heart. "Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself," right? So faith requires action. Learning requires proving you've learned it. That's why we had to take those tests back in school. You know, we thought maybe they were just being mean. Or they were trying to put us pressure and all these things. No, they wanted to make sure. They wanted you to prove that you had learned it, that you were living your learning, all right? Fifth tonight, as we think about leaders are always learning, is number five, is learn to lead. As I say this, this is a double entendre here, all right? I mean this in two ways. First, learn to lead. I mean this, you should give yourself to learning to be a better leader. That's what we've been doing in this series here, right? Leadership is important. Leadership is really, really, really important. Brian Sanders, he once wrote this. He said, leadership determines where the organization will go, what will be achieved, how it will be done, when it will be done. And then he summed it all up by saying this, leadership is everything. And so you should give yourself to becoming, to learning to be a better leader, all right? You are whatever leadership structure in there, whoever it is that's looking up to you, you oftentimes are the lid of whatever it is that you're leading, right? And so you got to raise your capacity so that you can lead well and take, whether it's your family or you're in your business, in your workplace, or you're volunteering or whatever it is, to take them to the next level. You've got to go to the next level. So you have to learn to lead. But second, here's what I mean by that, learn to lead, is that you should also understand that learning something, knowing something, is a prerequisite for being a leader, right? Like, why would we put anybody, why would anybody follow you until you actually know something, until you're worth following? And so you've got to pour into it. You've got to grow. You've got to want to make yourself better so that you are a good leader, someone who's prepared, someone who's ready to be followed, all right? Put yourself in a position to actually be a good leader. And here's the sixth thing that I would say to you tonight. Good leaders are always learning. Leave what you've learned to others. And that's one of the joys of it, isn't it? That's one of the coolest things, is when you've kind of got it and you want to make sure that other people enjoy and learn what you have. And you all have skills. Every one of you out here have skills that somebody else needs to know, whether it's finding mushrooms or making chocolate or picking out the right paint color or how to insert an IV, right? I mean, we could go on and on, right, with all the different things that we have skills in, right? And we've got to pass it on. Like, here's the deal, y'all. God did not give you the ability and the desire for these things so that you would just enjoy them yourself. They're meant to be passed on. They're meant to be passed on. I remember one of my cousins, she's always kind of been the family historian. She came and spent a lot of time with my grandmother and my great-grandmother kind of documenting how to quilt, all right? And my mamma, who was, again, that's my great-grandmother, my dad's grandma, she loved it. She was thrilled that somebody wanted to learn this thing that she had done all of her life, and it was so practical for her family and so beautiful. And it's just a joy. And you've all been there before when someone said, hey, can you show me how to do that? And it's a joy to say, yeah, let me show you how to do that. And so we've got to be looking for opportunities like that. You know, a lot of times, we're sort of the, it's kind of like in the old days, not in the old days, but like over in the Eastern cultures, you think about like the Shaolin temples and all this stuff. You think about all the karate movies. They didn't go out looking for the person, to teach karate to. They had to come and sit at the gate and, they would turn away, no, you're not ready, and they would go away, and they'd come back, and please take me in. They'd sit out there and starve, and in the rain, and all that stuff, until finally they said, come in, you're now ready. A lot of times we go through life like that. It's like, if they want to learn, they'll come to me. But you should really seek out people, right? Isn't this part of the mission? Think about this for a minute. Of Eastwood, develop relationships to impact people with biblical answers to life's challenges. All right, that's our mission as Eastwood. We could say it this way, develop relationships to impact people for Christ. We could shorten it to say it that way. But developing relationships to impact people, this is what we're talking about. You need to look, you need to find, you need to reach out and to make friends and get to know people and to network and to pass on, to leave what you've learned to others. Now, it comes naturally doing that with our children and our grandchildren. But let's just be real. Sometimes our kids don't give a flip about what we like, right? I mean, I was that way with my dad. He's a great carpenter. He built our house he built the house that I grew up in. He did the trim in the house that I bought just just happened to. He actually did all the trim work in that house back in the day when it was built in 2006. You know, and so, I mean, I could have learned all these things. I know none of these things, all right? Why? Because I didn't care about it, right? I missed a golden opportunity. I often kind of kick myself in the rear end, you know, because I didn't learn those things from my dad. And I guess I still could, as far as it goes. And I have learned a lot from him. But nevertheless, find somebody is what I'm saying. Find somebody. Sometimes the natural ones that you think, I'll pass this on, they don't want it. Find somebody to pass on the things that you've learned. God has given those to you so that you can pass them on to others, all right? Think about Luke 2:52 for just a moment. This is the last scripture we'll look at. Jesus, it says, increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. So Jesus learned in his humanity, right? He learned. And what did he do? He passed it on. Think about the rest of his time throughout the Gospels, when you read it, what's he doing? He's teaching. He's passing on truth. And so I say to you, when you leave what you've learned to others, you're being Christ-like. You're being Christ-like. So I just want to challenge you to do that. So leadership principle number 10, good leaders are always learning. Here's my final prayer tonight. May your bigger learning make you a better leader.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.